Let me turn your attention to the scripture reflecting the glory of God in the face of Jesus. In these devotions, I like to bring up things that we normally don't think much about, and we read it and we say, well, that sounds nice, but what in the world is that all about? Reflecting the glory of God in the face of Jesus. God in himself is invisible. He's not a corporal being. He's not made of physical things. And so if we were to really grasp the idea of looking at God, knowing that we're not talking about a physical body, we will see it in the face of Jesus. We'll see what we need to know of God in the face of Jesus. So what we're looking at here is experiencing glory with God. Sensory knowledge means the knowledge that we get by our senses, and that's pretty much all of human knowledge. But I want you to notice the great difference between sensory knowledge and scriptural knowledge. Sensory knowledge is something we touch and see and hear and taste and whatever, and we have that experience. So we know that by experience. Scriptural knowledge tells us things that we could not touch and things that we could not see and hear. But we get a knowledge because we know it's God telling us this. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, 9 to 12. Here the apostle says, "For we know," and I've added in here in the, orange letters, expanding the meaning of that word. We know, meaning we are knowing by experience, in part, and this means part of the whole thing. As we experience life, we're only experiencing part of it. We can't touch every rock. We can't see every stream. We can't even listen to every bird. The thing is, it's part of the whole thing. And we prophesy in part, meaning again, part of the whole. But when that which is perfect, which he's referring to the Bible, that which is completed, is come, then that which is in part, part of the whole, shall be done away. The King James margin tells us it could mean vanish away, not just become unseen. Then he gives this example. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought or reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The putting away here means that childish things stood rendered ineffective. In manhood, the childhood things were not effective for me. For now, talking about the time before the Bible was completed, we see through a glass, referring to a mirror, darkly, literally in obscurity. We see it not clearly, like the imagery of the tabernacle. The tabernacle they could see, they could touch, but they didn't understand it. And so, like in the book of Hebrews, it especially goes back and explains all these things, what they really were referring to. But then, that is, after the Bible is completed, face to face, face toward face. Instead of looking at that face by looking in a mirror, we now turn and see face toward face. Now I know by experience in part, but then, after the Bible is complete, shall I know, and this is that word for having expert knowledge, the epigenosis, even as also I am known, as I am expertly known. By whom? By God. Knowing as God reveals allows us to see as he sees. Now, I broke that all up for you, but the idea here is a contrast between the spiritual gifts, the miraculous gifts, that gave spiritual information by speaking in tongues, by the gift of prophecy. In those days, Meseret would raise her hand. Yes, Meseret, what do you have? I've been given the gift of prophecy. Well, would you stand and share that with us? See? And then she would tell us something, that a prophecy referring to something that we didn't know. God was revealing it, perhaps for the first time, or perhaps just for the first time in this church, and then she would be able to give us that. But it would be a message of God through the Holy Spirit. Or maybe Catherine would stand up and say, I have a message from God, and she would start speaking in Chinese or something. And the only person that knows it is Pastor Emiru, who knows all languages. So he'd say, oh, that was a good message. Oh, thanks. But those were things that the people then saw, understood, heard, reasoned, thought it through. And in that time, God was saying, this is all real, and I'm active in you. And this message of the New Testament is real, and you can see it by the miracles. So, you talked about looking in a mirror. What do you see in a mirror? If you're looking at yourself, you see a reversed image. That's why a photograph sometimes seems unlike us. It doesn't look like us when we look in a mirror, because we're actually, your right side is on the right side, but that would be the left side if you turned around. When you see things through the Word of God, you can see God's truth clearly as if you turned and looking at it face to face. You remember, after Moses stood on the mountain with God, he came down and the people, children screamed and ran away. And his face was glowing. His face shone with the glory of God. And they said, that's not right. That's just weird. So they said, I don't want to be mean or anything, but would you put a bag over your head? We don't want to see that. It disturbed the people of Israel. Israel's refusal to deal with the glory of God is another symptomatic, to see the glory of God in another. That's what I'm trying to say. And that's what he did say. To see the glory of God from Moses' face is symptomatic of unbelief. They don't like it. It's too weird. It's supernatural. Let me take you to 2 Corinthians 3, 13 and 14 and 18. So he's talking about us showing the glory of God. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. What was abolished? Well, the law. Their thinking of the law as a path to God. The law is a path to wise living, and it's still valuable to us for that reason, but it's not a path to salvation. So the glory of Christ was shining, but it was telling them of the end of end of their way of thinking. So that the people of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. But their minds were blinded. This is why they didn't like it. They weren't seeing properly. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Now, he's switched it around to where what Moses was communicating by the very glory shining from his face, they said, we don't want to see that. And he says, the veil between them and the glory of God is still in place, but now it's the Bible that is trying to share the glory of God, and the veil is hiding this from them. Which veil is done away in Christ. So you receive Christ, and Paul knew this. He experienced this on the road to Damascus. He couldn't see it. He was getting rid of this cult of the Christ followers, the way. Didn't like it, and it was untraditional, you know. And then he saw Christ, and the veil was taken away. But we all, and now he's summarizing, we all with open, meaning unveiled, face, beholding as in a glass, reflecting the glory of the Lord. We Christians reflect, like a mirror reflects, we're reflecting the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. What he's picturing is that the glory that we're seeing from God, reflecting on us or through us, we're changed into that image. We have a face like Moses that reflects the glory of God, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, or the Lord of the Spirit. So it's a spiritual thing. It's not a thing that we do, it's a thing that is done to us. And that as you meditate on Christ, you begin to take on his features. I've often referred to Nathaniel Hawthorne's wonderful little story, The Great Stone Face. And you can download it on your phone. It's a short little thing. But basic story is that in this New England village, there was a mountain, and some of the features of the stone up there looked like a strong man's face. Good brow, forward nose, healthy chin, you know, the whole thing. And so there was a legend that one day, a man that looked like that, a man that had the stone face, would come to their village and be a great leader. And so this young boy looked up there and he said, well, I better pay attention to that face, because if he comes today, I don't know that I wouldn't say, oh, that's the guy from the stone face. So he took some time every day and just stared up and looked at that face. And then he thought about what that strong brow meant, probably intelligence. That nose seemed to know exactly where he was going. The chin said, I'm tough enough to get the work done, you know. And he thought through what those characteristics might be of that face. As he developed and got into his teen years, and so when the people started looking at him, and finally they said, he has the face. He has the great stone face. And I think this is the picture of what he's talking about here. That you and I, meditating on Christ, God made us so that what we focus on, we turn into. I usually tell the story about how that a lady said, I want to lose weight. So she took a picture of a big fat lady, sloppy fat lady, and put it on the refrigerator so that she would come to the refrigerator for a snack and go, oh no, I don't want to look like that. But it didn't work. And somebody said, well, the reason is you're focusing on the wrong goal. You're focusing on the wrong thing. Put your head on a body that you like from a magazine, you know. And so she did that and put it up there. And that was the goal that she wanted to look like. And now it was a very positive thing when she came to the refrigerator and she looked at that and she thought, yeah, that'd be worth not eating the rest of that strawberry cheesecake. And it became that way. People keep discovering this as the great secret and so on through life. But it's a thing that you can do. But the greatest image for us to look at is Christ himself. As you read the Gospels, imagine you are there facing what he was facing. imagine what it would be like to say those words, to answer those taunts, to confuse the people who are trying to confuse you. Think that through. Be him in your imagination. And you are changed into the same glory. So when you got saved, when you experienced the new birth, you begin to see the glory of Jesus in yourself. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom, and in the context that's talking about them that are lost, in them that are lost, the God of this world, which is Satan, hath blinded, the God of this world, meaning the ones that the one that they worship, not the one who has a godly power. But the God of this world hath blinded the minds. To blind the mind is different from blinding the eyes. This is the mental perception that is being blinded. They don't get it. They can't see it. Of them which believe not. Now, why would he do that? Why would he blind their perception? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So if we are shining the glory of God in Christ, in our life, if we are this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, see? If we're going to let it shine and others can see it, and Christ said, let people see your good works so they will honor Christ. Let your light shine. Let the light of Christ shine. And so Satan is trying desperately to keep people from noticing how different you are. That when things go bad, you just don't sit down and break up in tears. You don't curse the darkness or whatever, you know. You have a different way of thinking about things. So Israel demanded Moses to hide the glory of God that was reflecting from his face. Satan now does this with unbelievers, hiding the glory of God reflecting from you, the believer. My last passage here is 2 Corinthians 4, 5, and 6. For we preach not ourselves. Paul talking to people who were used to philosophers coming by and explaining things to them, he says, we do not seek to reflect our own glory. We're not preaching ourselves. But we are preaching Christ Jesus the Lord. But we delight in reflecting Christ's glory. And, by contrast, ourselves, your servants, literally your slaves, for Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. This is not light shining into darkness, that's normal. This is light shining out of darkness, and so it refers to the creation of the world. There was no light. God said, let there be light. Light shining out of darkness. Hath shined in our hearts, and that is at the recreation of our spirit. Unsaved people have a spirit, it just doesn't work. It's like it's dead, dormant. When we get saved, God wakes up that spirit. It becomes alive. And the spirit is how we are connected to God and God to us. To give the light, here again, it's giving forth light. Give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's our opportunity to show Christ. Ron Hamilton wrote, I saw Jesus in you. You see, I heard his voice in the words you said. I saw Jesus in you. And that's the glory of God in the face of Christ. So when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you experience the new birth, giving you the experiential knowledge, the sensory knowledge of the Word of God. This knowledge of the glorious God begins to shine in your heart. You begin to shine with the glory of God from the inside out. Those around us begin to see the light of the knowledge of God's Word as if they were seeing the face of Jesus himself. What makes you different should be the question on their mind. And the difference is, I have God in my heart, experiencing glory with God.